All right, let's get to hour number two. So I've got two interviews in the third hour, which means this is your hour, clones. This is your hour. Use it. I went hard in the first hour. I had an interview in hour number one. So this is the hour that you want to jump in here. Take advantage of it. Although I did get a Rack phone call from a Smack Off participant in the first hour. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, you know Rocket can. All right, 1-800-636-8686. One thing I want to reset coming off the interview with Charles Robinson, something that he said at the very end, I don't know if you picked up on this, it was actually very hard to miss it. When I said to him, I've got about 90 seconds left, what is your sense? Is Aaron Rodgers going to start week one? There was like a big pause and a big exhale before Charles answered that question about him playing with the Packers next season. And then he said it was a coin flip. He said that it would be a situation whereby the NFL MVP, and their legendary Hall of Fame quarterback, that it would be a coin flip as to whether or not he would play for them. Like, the hell is that even possible? How are they not doing everything in their power to stack the odds in the favor of that happening? How are they not doing everything in their power to fix that situation? He's the NFL MVP, all right? This is not a guy who's on the back end of his career, who is holding on, and you got to rip that football out of his hands. This is a guy playing as well as he has ever played. He won the MVP, but it's a coin flip as to whether or not he's going to be your starting quarterback next year. How the hell is that even possible? You can make an argument for anything other than doing what's right by this guy and making sure you fix it when you still can, unless you no longer can. And then that's on you. Imagine it coming to that point that you burn that bridge. Listen, I understand that Aaron is kind of a different dude. I understand that Aaron can run pretty hot. I understand that Aaron can be a little emotional. But here's what else I understand about Aaron. MVP. I also understand that Aaron was on record as saying, I want to end my career here. He doesn't want to go anywhere. He just wants what he has earned. And you know what he really wants? A commitment from the franchise. That you're not trying to rush me out of here. Because everything you've done and said suggests to me you're trying to run me out of here. All right, fine. Then send me someplace where they do want me. I'm telling you, Tom Brady went through the same thing. Brady's situation was different because he was free to sign elsewhere. But Brady got the feeling, you know what? I'm not feeling really appreciated here. I'm not feeling like they're giving me enough respect for what we've accomplished. I'm feeling like that genius of a head coach feels like he can do it with somebody else. And a part of him even wants to prove it. You know, kind of like the Packers. They drafted my heir apparent. And one thing I wanted to get to with Charles Robinson that I didn't get to, I want to make this clear. I think that just by drafting Jordan Love, that was going to piss Aaron off no matter what. Just period. But had they handled it differently, I think that it would have mitigated how pissed he was or is. If they had said to him, hey, Aaron, we got to talk to you about something. We like a guy. Much like we liked you when we still had Brett Favre. You know, life's going to go on. At some point, we're going to have to find somebody to play the position other than you. Not today, maybe not tomorrow. But there's a young guy on the board that we like. And if he's there, we're going to take this guy. Because we do have to set up for a life without you, ultimately. We want to be straight up. We want to look you in the eye. We want to tell you that. This is our plan. And maybe Aaron says to them, yeah, but I had you in the NFC Championship game last year. Man, we're this close. Get me this help. If they were to say, we hear you, we appreciate that, but we want to let you know this is the plan. We don't want you embarrassed. We don't want you caught off guard. We don't want to jump you. This is the plan. I'm not saying that he would have been, oh, great. That's awesome. I get it. I'm on board. I'm saying it would have helped a hell of a lot. Man, you owe that guy that. Communicate with the guy directly. He is one of the best to ever do it, but they didn't, and that made it worse. But then, if you accept Charles Robinson's reporting, and I do, because there's nobody better at that than what he does, they still could have fixed it. When Aaron screwed their plans up by winning the MVP, then you go back and you say, you know what, Aaron, let's talk. Let's make this thing right. Let's extend that deal. Let's guarantee you more money. We are committed to you beyond 1 year. And I still think they could have fixed it. But apparently they didn't do that. Rome. It was cool to see them run the Derby with fans. The only thing that would have made it richer would have been Danica calling for riders up. War Secretariat's record still standing. Armando. That would have been kind of rich. You asking for Danica or Danica? Either one of them could have called for riders up. Hey, Rome. Bob Baffert is very instrumental in making sure his horse runs in a circle fast. Signed, Steve Nash, giving a pep talk to KD, Kyrie, and James Harden. Stephen PHX. Yeah, that's kind of a nuanced take. There's more to it than that. And Steve, if it were anybody other than you, I would break it down, but because it's you, I don't give a damn. I'm not going to waste my time or my words or my energy on you, Steve. I'll tell you what I will do, though. This is how crazy horse racing is. The horse that won the Derby sold as a yearling for $1,000. The winning purse for the Derby was $1.8 million. The owner of that horse bought that horse as a two-year-old when he was flipped for $35,000. So at one point, that was a $1,000 horse. A $1,000 horse. How many of you bet that on that race as somebody who's got no interest at all in ownership? Somebody paid $1,000 for a horse that won the Derby? I mean, it's like the most absurd thing ever, and then the most obvious thing ever for horse racing. Romy. Bob Baffert's hair is ghost white. Dude needs to mix in some color. Regards, pale people at a tanning salon. Denny in the 402. All right, and a couple of thoughts there. Number one, it's kind of his trademark, right? The white hair. Number two, my man is 68. I know people in high school with gray hair. He's 68. He's going to have gray hair. You think that guy gives a damn? He just won his seventh Kentucky Derby with a horse that he thought had no chance of winning. Romy, Aaron Rodgers severed ties with his nuclear family. So he is definitely capable of saying goodbye to the Packers and his football life, especially since his legacy in that sport's already cemented with a Hall of Fame career. And hosting Jeopardy is part of that beautiful mystery future. Sean in Green Bay. I think this is a real question. The guy loves the game. He loves the competition. He's still playing the game at a really high level. Would this guy really walk away after an MVP season because he hates the GM and the situation that much? Would he do that? I'm going to say I think he would. I think the guy would. At that age, given what he's accomplished, it's not his first choice, but I think that he would. And, in fact, that's the only leverage he has. He's under contract. They're already saying, we're not trading him. They said it. We're not trading him. So what leverage does he have? Hold out? Not show up for workouts? I mean, do they really care about that? The only hammer he has is not to show. And if you're thinking is, man, the guy's going to show. He's not leaving that money on the table. I think he might. Hey, Rome. Does Rodgers not remember he was in the new guy's shoes with Favre? My. The more things change, the more they stay the same. I don't know jack squat about sports, but I definitely remember when that went down. Looking at it from Rodgers' position now, I tell him go pound sand and go play for the Vikings. Brandon Moody. See, that's what I'm saying. He can't do that. He can't just go decide to play for the Vikings. He's under contract. His only recourse is to retire. Would he be willing to do that? I don't know. I'm saying this is a different dude. Maybe. What I'm also saying is, why the hell would the Packers let it come to that? Because they want Jordan Love to play. A guy who's never thrown a pass in the NFL. because you want to start that succession process now. You know, again, for the last time, if Rodgers had nothing left and they were a 500 football team, he had them in the championship game 2 years in a row. Why would you do that? 1-800-636-8686. Let's stay on topic. Or as Hawk would say, on topic, in market.
What?
Madtown, Wisconsin. Kevin. What's going on, Kevin? How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How are you doing today?
Great.
See, listen, I think something that people aren't actually following is the fact that they're not just not trying to re-sign him and give him what he deserves. They're not actually re-signing the people around him either. They let Corey Linsley go, who was an all-pro center. They let another guy go to the Chargers 2 years ago. I mean, they're not doing anything to make this guy want to stay. They got three receivers in that room, aside from Davante Adams, that couldn't catch a cold if somebody handed it to him. I mean, you're an MVP. You're doing all this with basically putty. I mean, what would happen if they actually gave him the tools that he could actually use? And then, okay, you go to the draft, you get a backup quarterback that you trade up for. Then in the second round, you get a third-string running back? I mean, what kind of sense does that make?
Okay, I'll tell you what kind of sense that makes, Kevin. Thank you very much. They're being very clear about this. They're looking to prepare for the future, as any franchise should. But there's a way to handle it and a way not to handle it, and that's not the way they handled it. Listen, I'm not saying that the guy has no help. And I'm not saying that they're not getting him some help. I did say before the draft, when Packer fan came in here right before the draft and already was furious and panicking before they even made a selection, I said, yeah, it'd be nice to get him a wide receiver. But they need help defensively too. And they need help on the outside. And they need a corner. And that's what they did. And I didn't think it was the worst pick ever. I'm not saying the guy's got nothing. They were in the NFC Championship game 2 years in a row. What I'm saying is treat your Hall of Fame quarterback with the respect that he deserves. And even after they jacked the whole thing up, they still could have fixed it. How do you come back to this guy and say, all right, we hear you. I got it. Let's talk contract. We'll give you a nominal bump with some more guaranteed money. But the fact of the matter is, we're really not committed to you beyond this year. Did you really think that was going to be okay with Aaron Rodgers? He just won the MVP award. Of course, that was not going to be okay with him. And it wouldn't be okay with me either. Packer fan, where do you come out on this? Is the guy being a big-ass baby, like some of you seem to think? I'm seeing your tweets. And that he should just, quote, honor his contract, or should they take care of him? Understand, it's a quarterback's league. These guys have more and more power. They're not afraid to flex it, and they shouldn't be. I'd handle it the same way if I were him, too. You know what the guy's saying, in effect? All right, it's not my time. You want to move on? Fine, move on. Move on. Send me someplace else. Give me another opportunity. If you're not all in with me, I'm not all in with you, move me out of here. You want to start with Jordan Love? Start with Jordan Love. Get me out of here. That's what he's saying. Or commit to me. But don't meet me halfway with some half-ass offer. Back to the phones. Let's go to Humboldt. Mark in Humboldt. Good to have you, Mark.
Hey,
how are you?
Hey, Mr. Realm.
Hey, Mark.
How are you doing?
Good, dude. How about you?
Good. I don't want to be off topic, but I just want to give you a personal thank you from me and my family for Old Trapper and you. So my dad is 72 years old, had a stroke, lost the use of his legs for diabetes. So he's been in bed for 4 months, and he went from 220 to 120. And we couldn't find a reason to get him to eat. But I lay in bed with him, and we listen to your show, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go down to the store, and I'm going to get a bag of Old Trapper. Sure enough, we eat a bag of Old Trapper every single time I lay in bed with him and listen to you. That's the only thing he eats.
My man, that is amazing.
I just really want to thank you for that.
My man, that is amazing, Mark. That is amazing. What's your pop's name?
It's so hard to watch your dad, you know, go through this.
You bet.
But to get him some food in him is even better. And Old Trapper and water, and that's all.
I hear you, man. My thoughts are with you, Mark. I really appreciate you sharing that story. It's a tough story to listen to, and it's gut-wrenching. But how about Old Trapper? He just said, my pops had a stroke, lost the use of his legs, went from 220 to 120, will not eat. I sit in bed with him, and I went down the street to buy some Old Trapper, and he's all about that. Wow. That's the most amazing thing I've ever heard about Old Trapper. That is incredible. My man. You're right. It's a gut-wrenching thing to watch your father go through. My man, I'm glad that you've got Old Trapper and you've got each other still and you've got the program. And you can flip that show on anytime you want. We do the What's Your Beef segment on Wednesday where I've got a gigantic plastic tower of beef or what's left of the beef that Ritt hasn't eaten. And we talk junk. And we beef. It's one of my favorite. Look, I love all my sponsors. Without sponsors, we don't do this. I can't come on the air and do what I do. I can't have my staff do what they do. We really appreciate those sponsorships, those relationships. Old Trapper, though, man, they're different. That is a family-owned company with an amazing product. They've created content for my show, and they produced that story. I've heard a lot of really, really endearing stories from our sponsorships. I'm not sure I've ever heard one like that, though. Mark in Humboldt. All right. Like I said, there is nothing like Old Trapper. When we come back, I want to go back to a jungle legend. One of the all-time interviews, and I did not conduct it. But there was a sports interview that is famous on this program that we've reset that I want to say has made me a better father, that has brought me and my sons closer together. An interview that you're well aware of that has had a dramatic impact on my family. The guy who gave that interview showed up again over the weekend. So I need to reset that. I can't wait to do it. That's coming up. It is Small Business Month. Dell Technologies and Windows are celebrating your unstoppable drive. Save up to 45% on powerful PCs with Windows 10 Pro to work from anywhere and top monitors and docks for the ultimate business setup, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. So all you need to do is speak to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right business tech, server, storage, and cloud solutions at 877-ASK-DELL, 877-ASK-DELL, 877-ASK-DELL for Small Business Month savings.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Already looking ahead to the weekend, Saturday, big day of sports on CBS beginning at 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific. The National Women's Soccer League Challenge Cup Final. Then at 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, off to the golf course. Some of the PGA Tour's best are going to be on the tee competing at the Wells Fargo Championship. That's all coming up Saturday on CBS, so never too soon to look ahead. And as you might expect, some of you are handling that last call about the way I would expect. Starting with Drew in West LA. Drew tweets, hey Mark in Humboldt, why call a national radio show with that? Call a shrink. Well, Drew, I think I can answer the question. In case you missed it, the caller called up and said, my dad had a stroke. He's in failing health. He's lost a ton of weight. He won't eat anything. I sit in bed with him. It's gut-wrenching. But then we listened to the program, and I went down the street, and I got him some Old Trapper, and he likes it, and he eats it, and it's good. Why call a national radio program with that? Because, Drew, they're going through a really tough time, and it helped. That national radio program helped. He's listening. It helped. He found out there's something he would eat as a result of the show. That's why. call a shrink? Yeah, okay, Drew. Yeah, that'll be great. If he calls a shrink, A, sports probably doesn't come up. B, I know somebody as entertaining as me doesn't come up. C, I guarantee jerky doesn't come up. That's why, Drew. Chris, no longer in St. Pete. All I eat, too, is Old Trapper. Is that caller? Pallets and pallets of it. Signed, Wells. Good. Good, Wells. Buy it by the pallet. Use the code name Rome when you buy it by the pallet. I want credit for it. Jared in Wisconsin. If you think that's a fascinating story, have I got a story for you. Signed, Curtis in Morro Bay. That's an all-time jungle legend right there. Curtis in Morro Bay. Do you remember that story?
I wanted to tell you about my Father's Day that I just had. My girlfriend and I and my son were backpacking down the Arroyo Seco River, which is on the backside of Big Sur. And on day three, we got to a point on the river where we just couldn't go down. It was just too dangerous. So to make a long story short, we put a message in a water bottle and just waited for the best thing to happen. And the best thing did happen. Two other people on the river actually got that water bottle, read the note, and 8 hours later, we had a chopper hovering above us at 12:30 at night.
So where were you that whole time? As you were waiting to be picked up and rescued, where were you? Were you still on the river?
We were still on the river. We backtracked about a quarter mile up the river to this beautiful beach and made dinner. And we're just hoping that the water bottle got found because we heard some voices down through the water chute where we were supposed to be headed. You know, about 10:30, we thought, you know, there's no way that they would have found it. And to be honest, actually, the CHP who helicoptered us out of there, they said that no one in U.S. history has ever been found by a message in a bottle. We're actually the first people ever to be found that way. And we were just lucky enough that they did.
Right. All right. So this guy, Curtis, calls us up out of the blue, and they're stranded, and their solution was not to use their cell phone, but rather, and somehow there was a bottle available, and they just jammed a message into it and sent it downstream. And he led me and everybody listening to believe that that worked, and they were rescued that way. And so what did I do? The same thing that anybody in my position would do. I clowned the guy for days on end and said something like, "Great story, Kurt." Yeah, and I was the first pick overall in the NFL draft and went on to have a Hall of Fame career. Remember when that happened? Right. It didn't. Nor did you jam a message into a bottle and get rescued on this river wherever the hell you were. And I love the way he embellished it by saying, yeah, and then authorities said that this is the first time in the history of this country anything like this had ever happened. I'm like, man, you are some kind of moron. What are you doing calling my show with this garbage, Kurt? And then sure enough, not long thereafter, my man is on the national news. Like, he tried to break this story to me, and all I did was clown him and mock him and talk junk about him. And then all you clones rushed in to kill this guy. And Curtis then, not long thereafter, is being interviewed by ABC News, and he's telling them the same story, and suddenly no one's laughing any longer, and my man's a hero.
Inside this water bottle, a desperate plea for help. Curtis Whitson was in the middle of what was supposed to be a four-day hike of California's Arroyo Seco in June with his 13-year-old son Hunter and girlfriend Crystal Ramirez. On day three, things went terribly wrong. The group got trapped in an isolated section known as the waterfall. So they got creative, Curtis carving "Get Help" on the outside of his Nalgene water bottle and quickly drafting up a note to put inside.
The first thing on it was the date, and then below it said, "Stuck at waterfall, please send help."
Curtis screwed on the cap and tossed the bottle over the waterfall, hoping someone downstream would notice the lime green lifeline. Their hopes for a rescue quickly answered, two hikers nearly a half mile away finding the bottle and notifying a campground manager who alerted authorities.
Amazing. A pilot who rescued the trio said this was the first time in 23 years on the job he had heard of anyone being saved thanks to a message in a bottle.
Meantime, I've got the story. I'm sitting on the story. The guy loves me. He loves the program. He breaks the story to me, not the national news. Now, if I had half a brain, and I certainly should have learned from other regrets and mistakes I've made in my career, like not taking Robert Plant up on his offer to hang out with him. I'd be sitting on this guy's book rights, movie rights. I'd be an EP on all of it. I'd be the guy. But no, I had to rush in and go, hey, liar, why don't you take that stupid story about your message in a bottle someplace else? When in reality, it was all true. He was a liar. Really, Curtis, you and Crystal and your kid were stuck somewhere on the side of a river and couldn't find your way out? Oh, really, Curtis? Because you know what happened to me once? I was out and I was surfing one day and a great white came. Actually, it was a whale. And it swallowed me whole and blew me right up through the blowhole. I did live in his belly for like 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden when he realized that he no longer needed me, he sent me up through the blowhole. And then I came back to host the show. So your story ain't jack, Kurt. I mean, that's pretty much the way I treated it. With that kind of disdain. And it was all true. So, Curtis, I apologize profusely back then. I want to apologize to you right now. And my man rolled with it, too, if I remember correctly. He was cool about it. He's like, yeah, man, I get it. I get you. I get the show. I understand why you didn't believe that. But I'm taking the movie rights someplace else. Anyway, that's what Jared in Wisconsin is resetting. Come on, man. 1-800-636-8686. I'm still trying to get to that story about an interview which I did not conduct. I wish I had, but it was a sports interview, and it had a dramatic impact on me as a father and my relationship between me and my two sons, and I will reset that when we come back. It's got a draft tie to it. Next hour, Chris. Yet. I definitely don't like what I'm hearing from LeBron. I don't like what I'm seeing from the Lakers. Is it time to panic yet? We'll get into that. Michael Lombardi, always locked into the NFL. He will be in the last segment of the program today. Right now, it's time for a sports update. If you've been waiting, wait no longer. Here it is. For the ones who get it done, Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry. Backed by 24/7 support, free access, product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. So you want to call or click Grainger.com, or if you want, just stop on by. It is that easy. All right, so quickly, let me go back to the draft for a minute. And I'm not going to break this thing down and give you grades for every single team, but just a few moments from the draft that really stand out. First and foremost, the draft was held in my city. Cleveland, C-Town, Believeland. So I was really intent upon seeing what the Browns did because I know they're that close and they are America's team. They went with defense with their first two picks in cornerback Greg Newsome the second. And then somehow, some way, they got an absolute steal in Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah in the second round. However, it was not just the pick in the second round that I liked so much. It was the action before that pick. When a Browns fan dressed as the late Macho Man Randy Savage dominated the stage. Now, in and of itself, was that a good idea?
Oh, yeah.
So let's see the action. What did that look like?
Is that the Macho Man?
Gotta be, right? Come on. That's amazing. Please tell me he just walked up and was like, I dressed up like this, I'm sitting in the chair.
No matter who got picked.
I don't care.
I'm taking the chair. And who's going to stop him?
Nobody.
What you going to do, brother?
That caught the Macho Man up.
Who's making the pick, Miss Elizabeth?
Good Lord, where's the commissioner?
NFL Network with the audio, so let's not see it. Let's hear it. Oh, yeah. Absolutely nothing better than seeing some dude dressed as a Cleveland Browns version of Randy Savage, rocking a belt, shaking hands with a commish. I'm sure Raj felt really comfortable with that. I'm sure he knew exactly what that was all about. I'm sure he understood that moment. I'm sure he rolled with that nicely. Except it was not all joy and exhilaration for Cleveland. I thought it would be, but it wasn't. Because in the third round, former Raven, Jacoby Jones, does that name ring a bell? It should. Jacoby Jones strutted onto the stage to make that pick for Baltimore. And you know that if Jacoby Jones is in front of a microphone, something amazing is about to happen. And it did, starting with his dance out to the mic. A strut and a dance.
Selection right now, it's Jacoby Jones who's going to announce their pick with a little flair as he entertains the fans here in rival Cleveland.
Hey, look, let me tell y'all something. Y'all can boo all y'all want, but you got to accept it. I got a ring. I got a ring. It is what it is. But I thank the NFL for giving me the opportunity to do this, and I thank the Baltimore organization for giving me the opportunity to do this. Because as a child, you want to do this. So with the 94th pick, the Baltimore Ravens select from Georgia, Ben Cleveland.
All right, so a little background here. At one point, this was not a Ravens house, and then it became a big Ravens house. It just is. But as big of a Ravens house as this is, it will never be as big of a house as it is America's team's house. So ordinarily, I might have an issue with a Raven coming in to Cleveland and talking junk the way he did. But how can I? Man, the way he owned it, the way he went up there, the way he delivered that, you knew he'd dominate a pick announcement, and he smashed it. Jacoby was more of a showman than Macho Man was, and that's saying something. I hate to see this guy take a run at my city like that, but what he said was accurate. He's not wrong. He does have a ring, and he's not afraid to tell you about that ring.
Hey, look, let me tell y'all something. Y'all can boo all y'all want, but you got to accept it. I got a ring. I got a ring. It is what it is.
I mean, you got to respect that, and I do. This guy gets up on stage at the NFL draft in the host town and said it three different times. I got a ring. Y'all got to accept it. It is what it is. Translation, scoreboard. I mean, was that the NFL draft, or was that a roast battle on the Comedy Network? Because he just won. That's the best work from Jacoby Jones on a mic since he did an in-game interview during a Pelicans game back in the day. That interview gave us one of the all-time greatest jungle drops ever. But I'm not going to just play the drop. I want to play the interview because sometimes that drop overshadows some other incredible greatness within.
Plethora of gridiron talent here tonight. The one and only New Orleans native Jacoby Jones here in the house. Jacoby, we're so glad to have you home after your season with the Baltimore Ravens. How are you doing?
I'm good, Mama. You know, I'm home. Ain't been home in a minute since the Super Bowl, so it's good to come home and just support, you know what I mean?
Has it been that long since the Super Bowl last year?
It's been awkward, you know, and then you've been like, all right, I'm good, but I appreciate it.
A free agent this year. What does your future plans hold? You have so many fans here who want to follow your career.
I love home always, but I would love to go back to Baltimore, but only God knows what it is in our path right now. It's a business. It's a crazy situation, so I'm just waiting.
So you had the iconic awkward drop. But do not sleep on that answer that he is about to give. Like, that already is one of the best interviews ever. Already. But do not sleep on the answer that he's about to give when he is asked what he is doing in the offseason. Listen.
It is a business, and it can be tough. So I imagine you'll be training some this offseason. What does your offseason hold for you?
Right now, I'm being fat. I'm eating crawfish, hot sauce, and po' boys, everything crazy. There go Meech. Oh, Lord. Here we go.
I love that the reporter is asking a really smart, really sharp question about how he's approaching his offseason training, and his response is, quote, right now, I'm being fat.
I'm being fat.
And then proceeds to run down a list of the food that he has been mashing. and it's pretty much a list of every kind of food there is in New Orleans. He's just eating his way through the city, quote, being fat.
Being fat.
Then the reporter asks him for a Super Bowl preview, talking about what it would be like to play the Super Bowl outside. And my man goes full-blown analyst.
Planning that snow won't be easy. It's a mind thing. But I think a team that plays outside all the time will win a game, which both teams do. But it'll be interesting. I think my pick, I think Denver will win.
Rock solid. You could take that inside to the bank. And you know what? I take that whole interview home with me. In fact, I did. I cannot tell you how many times that Jacoby Jones interview has been a part of the fabric of the Rome household. Do you have any idea how many times the word awkward is thrown around in my home? Do you have any idea what that interview means to me and my family? That has been a staple of our dinner table ever since that interview dropped. I could do this show for another 30 years. I could interview presidents, kings. I could do a roundtable with Michael Jordan and LeBron James. None of that would have the impact on my life and my family and me as a father that Jacoby Jones did in that interview. And I didn't even conduct the interview. I wasn't even there for it. That's no exaggeration now. I'm not saying that for effect. Again, I cannot tell you what that interview means to me and my family. Some of the best father-son moments that I've ever had with my two sons have come from that interview. I will say it right now, and I'm proud to say it. That interview made me a better father. That interview made me a better person. And there is nothing at all awkward in that admission. Just seeing that guy do what he does brought me even closer to my two sons than we already were. Logan and I go back and forth about how awkward. Many awkward things are. I can't say how many times we pulled that up on our phone in the ensuing years afterwards. I mean, what do fathers and sons bond over? I can remember when I was growing up, my father and I, we'd watch fights, boxing. I've got amazing memories of my father and I watching some of the all-time great fights together. Fathers and sons bond over baseball, right? My boys and I, especially Logs. Logan thought that was hilarious. My sons and I have bonded over Jacoby getting awkward and being fat.
I'm being fat.
Right? We're all being fat, man.
I'm being fat.
My boys and I have bonded over that and will continue to do so. We always will. So when I saw my dude get up on stage as a Raven and talk junk to C-Town and talk junk to America's team and their fans, you know, initially my reaction was, come on, man. You don't need to be like that. But then I remembered who he was, what he represents, how he did one of the most famous interviews ever, what he meant to me as a man and as a father, and most of all, bottom line, he's not wrong in what he said. He does have a ring. It is what it is. Nobody can take that from him. And I'll tell you what is, that is one of the greatest interviews ever. Ever. Nothing awkward about that.
Awkward.
And when she hit him with, how are you preparing for the upcoming season? What are you doing in the off season? And he said, quote, I'm getting fat.
I'm being fat.
Check that. I'm being fat.
I'm being fat.
He's not getting fat. He's being fat.
I'm being fat.
Why? What are you eating? Everything. Crawfish. Po' boy. My man Jacoby. Big ups to you, JJ.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Made me a better man. Made me a better dad. We talk about it all the time. Been awkward. I'm going to say that an awkward reference comes up in my home probably every day. Because probably every day in life, overall, or our personal lives, somebody says or does something awkward.
Awkward.
And believe me, there's more than the infrequent pantry run, so somebody's being fat.
I'm being fat.
We always do this. How you doing, Pop? You talking to me, Logs? I'm being fat.
I'm being fat.
Logan gets up, spills Cholula all over himself. My reaction always is, stay hot, son. And, oh, that was awkward.
Awkward.
Into hour number three. It's going to be a good one. I've got Chris Mannix at 20 past. I've got Michael Lombardi at 40 past, which means I got an open segment next.